Sad Mirage.
The Sad Mirage.
Sad Mirage.
The Sad Mirage.
The Sad Mirage.
Welcome back to the second installment of the Sad Mirage. It's the show where myself, Tom, and Mike, we just kind of talk.
Yeah.
And it's,
Try to block out the background sounds.
Yeah. We just kind of doing what we can.
Last time we were in a windy environment.
Yeah, now we're setting the mood with a...
I guess it's very damp.
Yeah, it is. It fits out being outside.
Yeah. Hey, that makes sense, yeah.
Rains all the... The rain is crazy now in New Jersey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it rolls through... Doesn't it seem like it rolls through so quickly, and it's so, like... Like, everything's like a flash flood now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think this is the first time Bayonne was on all the news shows tonight, because I guess we did get hard hit, and there's parts of Bayonne that do flood. Fortunately, I'm not in that area.
Yeah. But it's so... It seems like monsoon country or something now. Mm-hmm.
I guess.
These rains are just like... It's a changing world, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some things change for the better. Some things not so much.
Yeah. Time marches on.
Yeah. So you had an event, speaking of time marching on?
Yeah. You picked up on my segue, huh? I went to it wasn't even a high school reunion. It was a grade school reunion. And this was...
grade school.
Yeah.
Reunion.
Well, when I was going to grade school... the first school I went to only went to the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then for seventh and eighth grade, they didn't have a middle school at the time. For seventh and eighth grade, I had to go to a different school. And in seventh grade, it was a bit of an adjustment because I was with a lot of kids I didn't know. It was like a little unfriendly type of environment. I remember having a hard time adjusting to seventh grade. But by eighth grade, I had hit my peak. And I think I may have mentioned this before on the show, where in the eighth grade, I ended up getting all A's for all four quarters of the school year.
On fire.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just me and this one other guy who I was friendly with. And, but, you know, I felt like, I mean, this guy looked like the classic nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he had like the... What was that character from Animal House? Niedermeyer? Was that the guy with the glasses and the protractor? Niedermeyer was another guy.
Niedermeyer was a different guy.
Yeah.
You mean Stork?
Stork, yeah, yeah, yeah. He sort of looked like a young Stork, you know. He had that 50s look in the 70s.
Stork was played by the guy who wrote one of the co-writers
right,
of Animal,
yeah,
Doug
yeah.
Kenny.
Okay, right, yeah, that's true.
What's your problem, you damn moron?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he looked like a younger version of him, or okay. maybe even possibly, if you're familiar with professional bowling, there was Earl Anthony, was popular in the 70s.
Another name I couldn't picture. I couldn't tell you what it looked
Another
like.
Another guy looked like he was right out of the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just me and him. And so what made this reunion unique was that the principal from the time is still alive. His name was Mr. Thompson, and he was going to be at this reunion. He no longer lives in the area. He lives in Florida. So it was like a big deal to come see him, who I hadn't seen him since grade school.
Yeah.
And I, you know, since I had such, you know, I did so well, I didn't really see him much when I was there. And I kind of was one of the things I was going to sort of spring on him was whether he remembered my distinction. You know, and of course he didn't, not at all.
But
he said exactly what I thought he was going to say. Well, you didn't come see me very much. You know, you were a good student, you know, so he remembers the bad students, apparently, you know, which is kind of sad, you know.
Yeah. Now, how many people turn out for a grade school reunion?
Yeah, originally I wasn't going to go because, you know, she used to be a neighbor of mine who organizes these events. And I'm looking at, and she does them pretty regularly for high school and this one, in this case, it was a grade school. And I'm looking at the list of the people who are going, and it's like, I don't recognize any names. I'm like, I'm not going to go. But then another guy who I hadn't seen in quite a while, he contacted me. He said he was going to go. So I went essentially because he was going to go. At least I'd have somebody to talk to, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then it turns out my brother ended up going, and I didn't know he was going to go. But so I knew a few people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So at one point, I finally got to talk to the old principal, and, you know, of course, he didn't know who I was. And but then I told him about the award we received, mm-hmm. being this other guy. You know, it was part of the graduation ceremony. We went up there, and they gave us this medal. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe the box the medal came in was probably more expensive than the actual medal. The medal is the cheapest looking thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember my mother held on to it. It was in our strong box, you know, with all mm-hmm. our report cards and stuff.
Sure.
And I looked at it years later, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This mm-hmm. this chintzy,
value.
This like chintzy thing.
You think of the value you attach to it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And you were like...
Seemed significant at the time, but years later, no, it was sort of like a slap in the face.
It's unbelievable, those things. I found some stuff like that, like ribbons and things mm-hmm. at my parents' house. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I could not believe that look, I know they're not going to break the bank making a thing for Cub Scouts or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just like...
They can get over on kids. It's easy to get over on kids, I guess.
And the whole thing where everybody gets on people now, where they're the kids now, where they're just like, everybody gets a thing. It's like, I got that. I didn't do anything special. They had no problem throwing me ribbons and things. So I was as mediocre as you got. And they're giving, here's all my ribbons.
So there was no, what were some of the ribbons for? Could you even remember?
Mike, I did nothing. Uh-huh. To distinguish, the first thing I did in my entire life to distinguish myself from anyone else mm-hmm. is probably The Best Show.
Really?
It very well might be.
See, I find it hard to believe that, you know, somebody with your sense of humor, that it didn't really come out early.
It was there, but I was doing it for three people. I'd do it for my group of friends. When we would make fun of the other kids, when we're in just kind of clustered at the table at the cafeteria.
But what about when you had like, I mean, I actually sort of had like my other sort of shining moment was I liked writing stuff. Mm-hmm. So like when we have essays or little book reports or whatever.
Sure.
Stories, you know. Like from early age, like third grade was like sort of when I sort of discovered that I liked doing this, and I mm-hmm. could get laughs even from kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, you must have had incidents where you had to go up in front of the class and read something or...
No.
No? I blend, speeches?
Like, I blended in. I blended
speeches?
In like you never saw anybody
No speeches?
Blend
in. Did you I have was... a speech class? I mean, that was like a thing where you had to
no,
get up
I
and
didn't.
Say something.
I didn't.
No. Wow. No. Okay.
Like, I was like wallpaper.
Uh-huh.
I might as well have been like a locker.
Well,
high school
was kind of like that for me, you know.
But the whole time I was like that. I never.
Yeah.
I don't think I did anything that made me stand out.
Uh huh.
It just wasn't.
It wasn't well. It's a timing
it all
thing,
now.
You know. You
I saved
it
all for
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Now I'm showing who I am.
Uh-huh.
Sure, I didn't peek back in eighth grade like you did.
yeah, no, I peeked too early. That was my problem.
Yeah.
Too early.
That's that metal getting you.
Yeah. That metal's got me nothing.
I was staring at that Cub Scout ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it just meant I showed up.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you were a Cub. It might as well just had like might as well have been like a punch card.
Yeah.
Like...
But you weren't Cub Scouts. I mean, you sort of have to do things in there.
Media. I couldn't do two things in Cub Scouts. Any kind of making anything never had a.
How about like you know
no
the athletic stuff? How did that go? Like relay races and
I ran track in high school for 1 year.
Oh, okay.
And I was good at it. I was actually surprisingly. Good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coach like yelled at me one time.
Yeah.
And I just didn't come back the next year.
Weren't expecting the yelling.
Just like, oh, it's just like, what are you yelling at me for? Yeah, I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe that's counter to the way it should. Maybe I should have been like, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's just like, yeah, I should. There's a part that's like, yeah, you're right. When the coach yells, it's a challenge and you're supposed to rise to the thing. But it's like, even then I knew in my mind, it's like, what's this guy doing that's blowing the world away? Like, this guy... This guy's a PE teacher, and it's fine if you're a gym teacher. I don't care. But you don't scream in a 13-year-old, 14-year-old's face about what I'm doing wrong. It's like, what are you doing that's making... Where's your... I didn't see you make your mark.
I just saw some...
I do remember feeling like some... Maybe not as pointed and developed as it is the way I'm saying it now. But I do remember feeling just like, who are you to yell at me?
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing anything.
Well, that's a sign of a good, healthy ego.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't, like, think that, like, you were the worst.
No. But then I folded. Yeah. I split.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, maybe you did the right thing, getting away from, you know.
I also didn't care about it. That's the other thing.
Crazy adult, you know.
I didn't have some crazy passion for it where I'm just like, I'll overcome. And I think that might be the big difference, too, with things. When you care about a thing, you'll take things like that, and that's par for the course when you're trying to accomplish a goal. Like, if somebody yelled at me about this show or whatever coming up or whatever, I'd be able to withstand that. I'm not going to quit because somebody yells at me.
Yeah.
Because I want to do this.
Yeah.
But that, I was just like, I don't need this. I'm not enjoying it that much. I'm out.
I just saw one of those internet headlines. I didn't even read the article, but it made sense to me that it was basically making the argument that yelling at your kids isn't a good thing. That it basically appears that you're out of control to your children. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of my experience growing up. I mean... You know, my father was, you know, he did the best he could, but he yelled a lot. That was his go-to thing to get the behavior out of the kids. And, you know.
And was it a hair trigger kind of thing?
It could be. Somebody could drop a pot and sounds would set him off.
Yeah.
You know, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's under control, you know. It's like, it's just somebody dropping a pot, you know.
Yeah.
But why yell about that? You know, I never understood that. So I've always been sort of trying to go the opposite way as far as yelling. You know, I kind of keep it.
The modeling, it was like the reverse modeling.
It was like behavior that I was, you know, didn't like. And, you know, I've just talked about Little League experiences and it was just like, too much.
But what does it take to get you to yell, though? Like, what?
Yeah, it would take something serious.
When's the last time you felt yourself be like, and you don't have to be specific. It's even like, when was the last time that happened where you're just like, wow, it's that kind of feeling when you're yelling and almost things that don't have anything to do with the incident that provoked it start coming out. I'd say once or twice a year at most I would have a thing like that happen.
It didn't involve yelling, but it was you know, when I thought about it, like the next day, it was a recent incident where I could have really jammed myself up pretty good. And part of it had to do with drinking. I had a few drinks in me. And, well, you'll enjoy this story. When after a certain time, my options for junk food are limited in my neighborhood. And I have resorted to Papa John's at times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm in there. And this guy comes in, a young guy. He's got, like, tattoos on his neck and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's, like, sort of bullying a young kid behind the counter to just give him water. First he asked for water. And this guy doesn't work for, as far as I can tell, but, you know, the next day I'm thinking, like, was I just stupid that this guy was one of the workers? But he didn't have, they have, like, a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have a uniform on. So it did appear that he was just kind of shaking this guy down for a bottle of water. But then in the middle of the transaction, he changed his mind. He didn't want water. He wanted an orange soda. And then the kid had to scramble to get an orange soda for this guy.
For free.
For free, yeah, basically.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, I'm sort of making a face at him, like, what are you doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, mind your own business. So he started giving me that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I kept going after him. I was like, really? You can't pay for, a bottle of soda,
Yeah.
How old are you,
Yeah.
He was in his 20s, at least, mid-20s, I would think. And then I did something that was really, could have really, and I thought about it later, but the area where I was working in, there's been, a decline, lots of, sort of homeless guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's some drug addicts and stuff. So at one point, I'm asking him why he couldn't pay for the soda, and I just made this little gesture.
Oh, like a...
Like the injecting,
yeah,
Yeah. Which, I thought about it the next day. I was like, oh, man, why didn't this guy could have been... Well, I even knew he left, after giving me a few mind your own business deals.
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, is this guy going to waylay me as soon as I walk out?
Yeah, is he waiting for you?
I didn't know the guy, and it's
yeah.
I was being stupid. You got to be careful when you're doing that. So I didn't yell at the guy, but I behaved badly, I thought,
Kind of lost.
In retrospect, I was like, wow,
Yeah, you know where the line is for you, and you crossed it the moment.
Yeah, and I was lucky I didn't. It didn't escalate to something really bad.
Mm-hmm. I was at the post office, and there was a line waiting. And it's like sometimes these post offices, they have two people at the counter. Mm-hmm. And it's not there. They're not the ones who just say hey, let's only have two of us up here. They wish there was 10 people there. But there was a woman online who just kept, they always do that thing where they start looking at everybody else online. They're just like, can you believe this? Can you believe this line?
Yeah.
Look at this. How long have we been here?
And
then they find someone else to commiserate with, this is unbelievable. I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't get on the thing. And she's doing it so loudly. And I know the people at this post office they're doing everything they can to make this thing move as quickly as possible. They are doing everything. They wish there was another person up there so they could get people out quicker. Mm-hmm. They don't love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they can hear everything everybody's saying. So then I'm next now, and she's behind me, and she's just like, I can't believe this. So I just said to her, it's like, why don't you go next? why don't you go next?
Yeah.
You're in such a rush. You're being so loud with it. You go next. I'm fine. I'll wait.
Yeah.
You go next. And then she just goes, don't you... trying to intimidate me. I'm like, you're the one yelling. You're humiliating the people behind the counter here.
Right.
You're being so crummy to them.
Uh-huh.
You don't see they're not on their phones and there's people sitting at standing in front of them at the thing. They're trying to get these people out as quickly but she tried to turn something as if I was I was attacking her or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no, just go. You're clearly in, and look, maybe she's in some anguished state. I don't know if she's got something personal going. Then fine, go.
Yeah.
Go. You're next.
Right.
You go up now. Get it. Get your business taken care of. Go get taken care of. But it was like she was being so aggressive to everybody, including the person who was letting her go ahead. somehow I was the bad guy now because...
Right.
And I, energy-wise, I was at 20% of her energy when I said, why don't you go? Because she was doing that, oh, can you believe this?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, what do we pay our taxes for?
Right,
this is what we pay our taxes for?
Yeah.
I can't wait till they privatize this place. I can't wait till they privatize it. And then they just take, as if these, look, and it's always loaded. There's a slight... tinge of racism to it also.
Oh, okay.
Where you're just like, why can't they do the job better?
Oh boy.
There's always, you know what I mean? It's so, the stuff's so loaded, but she's not saying anything that's an actionable, inciting word.
Yeah.
But she's just, she's being cute with the line with it. Like, I'm your boss. Don't you know?
It's like taxpayer. Yeah.
Yeah.
The old taxpayer line.
Yeah. When you think about it, the post office is still a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Send a thing for 50 cents, a 49, whatever a stamp is, goes anywhere in the country.
Yeah. Did she go ahead of you eventually?
Yeah. Oh, she had no problem doing that.
Oh, okay. I thought you got into like an extended conversation.
No. You go. You go. You go.
I feel bad with, with my new mail order business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These poor, I feel nothing but sympathy for these postal clerks because for overseas stuff, it's a process that they have to punch in all this stuff.
They got to type in the sender.
It's a drawn out process. And if there's people behind me, I begin feeling bad. I only bring like one or two of those at a time because I know how time consuming they are.
When I would do big mailings for the show, like sending things out to Patreon, and I would have like a bunch of international things, I would call the post office ahead of time and say like, hey, I have 20 international things.
Yeah.
And they'd say like, okay, we'll come. We'll just have one postal worker. We'll come out and process your stuff. That way you're not slowing the whole place down.
Oh, yeah.
But it's endless.
It is, yeah. And it's like, can't they figure out a system better than that? Whatever they're doing, they've got to enter all this stuff. But then, for regular flat rate mail, air mail, that's relatively quick.
Oh.
Yeah. So why this big to-do with something that's slightly larger? That's what I can't figure out. But
This is when you're sending your calendars out to apmike.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, they're going out. People are ordering them. It's very nice.
I'm seeing good response online. People like the calendars.
People like it,
Yeah. You're really setting a mood with those. It's like the mood of the country.
I guess so.
Your calendar has kind of captured America in 2018 and 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I should put it in a time capsule,
yeah.
Offer it to the schools.
Yeah, why don't you offer it to schools? You bring them to the grade school thing? Try to peddle any of them at that?
I thought about bringing something along, but I ended up not bringing it. But
Do you tell anybody at these things about the best show?
Oh, of course I do. I'm always pitching the best show.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And, actually, one of the guy who I was meeting there, he's listened to the show. Actually, what he brought up is that he was sort of a prog rock guy. He came across that that interview you did with the author of the book about prog rock.
Dave Weigel.
Yeah.
Yes.
He listened to that.
That's nice.
Yeah, he brought that up.
So when you go to this, you say like, I argue with a squirrel. They think you would bang your head.
No, I don't go into specifics. Yeah. I tell them it's a fun show.
There's a squirrel.
No, I don't go into specifics. I usually throw your background in there to give it like some credentials.
Sure.
Because like they're like, what? Yeah. You're doing a pot? It's like
bona fides. You throw the bona fides in.
I throw something in there that, that's I've heard of that show,
Yeah.
Good.
That's nice. Thanks, Mike. We can use all the listeners we can get with you get your grade school people, maybe get that principal back, get him on board.
Yeah, I don't know if he's, well, that was the other thing. The name of the school I went to was called Land of Pines. And, I played basketball for in eighth grade, seventh and eighth grade. And it was the Land of Piners. We were the Piners.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the way, somebody thought that wasn't a distinct enough name. So they renamed people who went to that school Pirates, the Land of Pirates,
Okay.
I don't know. What's your feeling about Pirates? I mean, it's established now. There's baseball teams.
And, yeah.
When you know the history of Pirates,
exactly.
They weren't really like good guys.
No, they were terrible.
Know?
They were the scourge of the world. terrorizing people.
Yeah, they were like muggers at sea, right?
Yeah, I mean. Exactly. Yeah, the sea muggers.
The sea muggers.
Why don't you change the name? What have you suggested that?
Yeah.
Let's change the name to the sea muggers. Yeah, then I'll be comfortable with this. Uh-huh. Or if you come out and you talk about Pirates for 10 minutes before a game, you see how long people want their kids walking around being called Pirates.
And then everybody wants to talk like a Pirate. I've never done that.
That's never been my thing. Yeah.
You could probably do it better than me, though.
I'm not going to. How much would you sell that medal for? Do you have it?
I can dig it up.
If you dug that medal up, would you sell it to the listeners?
You know what?
What if you did a straight up eBay auction? Mike's memories.
Mike's memories. You know what I love? We got something even better.
Yeah.
Remember when I talked about the pathetic stuffed toy that I saw at a church flea market?
Yes.
I felt sorry for it. Yeah. I bought it out of pity.
Uh-huh.
I found that thing.
Oh,
I've got it.
Why don't you start selling Mike's memories?
Mike's memories. There they go.
Yeah, Mike's eighth grade. Mike's eighth grade academic excellence medal.
You got to let go at some point, right?
What is it, $100?
Oh, what, for the medal?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I couldn't rob somebody that much.
Oh, see.
I mean, it doesn't have any sentimental value at all.
You.
The Humpty Dumpty would I think I'd go 100 on the Humpty Dumpty doll. Maybe 25 for the medal.
We should.
It looks like something out of a bubblegum machine.
I'm telling you. Mike's memories. And you do a certificate of authenticity?
Yeah.
Here's Mike's eighth grade academic medal.
You can get those certificates at Michael's, maybe.
Are you kidding? You get the certificates. I'll download a blank one online and just sign it.
Yeah.
That would be the funniest eBay auction ever. Mike's memories. Yeah.
Humpty Dumpty. There's a book out called, and you know, it's a practical thing. I think the name of the book is called Death Clean, where I guess it's trying to inspire people to really, when they're getting of age, to think about what's going to be left for people who come after them, that they're going to have to deal with your stuff.
Right, and we throw them in the dumpster.
Yeah.
They'll get one person to come through, like an estate sale person, who'll be like, I can do this this lamp. Mm-hmm. I can sell. We could probably do this silverware. Mm-hmm. These books are worthless. Meanwhile, the book, it's your life's, it's your life's work collecting the greatest, most curated library.
And then worthless.
Right in a dumpster. A rainy day.
Books. Books are on the way out. And now PBS, I guess it's like the death knell. They're doing that Great American Read. Have you heard about that show they're doing?
No.
Oh, God. You have to look into it. And they don't let you write in your favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
You only have so many books that you can vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the list that they've come up with is all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no quality control whatsoever. They've got 50 Shades of Grey on there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Moby Dick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, there was no distinction between quality. They got James Patterson's on there, And
The president is missing. The one he wrote with Bill Clinton will be on there.
You got to check out this site. I think you'll
the Great American Read.
Yeah. And actually the show, then they follow up with, there's going to be shows. It's on during our show. And I guess they talk about two or three of the books on the list, during the show. But, what are they going to talk about 50 Shades of Grey and the James Patterson book?
Yeah.
They're going to get some idiot to come in and say, this is a great book.
James Patterson. airport books.
Yeah, it's oh, my God.
People grabbing these things at airports. Now they're going to do that. Yeah, sorry, we couldn't get to we killed the Moby Dick episode because the 50 Shades of Grey one we turned into a two-parter.
they'll get more of a bigger audience, that's for sure.
That's just
pandering, let's go to the lowest common denominator.
So what is James Patterson? Those are thrillers, military thrillers or political thrillers?
Actually, I started reading one of them,
mm-hmm.
and some guy brought it into a bar. That's all he reads are these thrillers, and then he mm-hmm. throws them out.
Yeah.
And he gave me this one that he really liked, and it was basically about a sort of Amazon-type company
mm-hmm.
that's taking over, mm-hmm. and it's like a Big Brother thing.
Okay.
But I didn't even finish it. But it was just everything you expected, you know.
Yeah.
There's cameras in the house. You know, they supply housing for the employees. Mm-hmm. Everything's taken care of them.
But
they're spying on them, yeah. and they know everything yeah. they say and do. And
yeah.
It was, you know, and it, yeah.
Just first thought yeah, kind of stupidity.
Yeah. It just goes where you think it would go. And yeah. it's like, oh, okay.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Well, he's a part of the Great American Read now.
Yeah, he's...
great.
He's just a brand now. He doesn't even write the things anymore. He's got, you know, the people who actually write it get to mm-hmm. put their name on underneath his name.
Like, he probably figures the basic story out mm-hmm. with them, but then somebody goes off and actually knocks the thing out.
I think it may not even be that much involvement. I think wow. maybe people are coming at him with thrillers, and then he'll look at it, maybe have somebody else
yeah.
read it.
Yeah. Wait, what if he's not
reading
it?
Is this acceptable?
Yeah.
You know, it's like he'll knock it off, you know?
What would be the point of reading? Look, why is this guy's name on the thing?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't write it.
You know,
it's the type of thing it's going to be then, I guess. It's just like...
I don't know.
Oh,
I've,
yeah, like if you've enjoyed James Patterson mm-hmm. books in the past, this will also be up your alley.
Yeah. And, I mean, thrillers, I mean, I guess I've read a couple over the years, mm. but, you know, it's not like I don't see what's at the top of the bestseller list and, mm-hmm. oh, that looks good, you know? And then yeah. you just get on a certain author, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My mother really liked this one guy. He was hugely popular, Harlan Coben, I think
sure.
his name is.
Yeah,
yeah. I think he's still out there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, his books, as soon as they come out, they're instant. It's just a name.
Crazy.
That,
yeah.
You know, it goes out and mm-hmm. everybody knows sort of what to expect. There's no big surprises, you know, and as long as he can keep the suspense building through mm-hmm. the thing, people feel satisfied.
And it's funny because the Elmore Leonard books were fun and were well written in a very sly kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he made them very conversational, and he was good at voices and
yeah.
moods, and but they were engaging, but mm-hmm. they weren't hammy kind of... Over like they were not political thriller. They were just like
right.
guys. They were like stick up guys.
Right. Yeah. Sort of small time crime as
yeah.
opposed to some international
yeah.
hijacking or you know
yeah.
some major event.
There was none of that. Maybe it would be a guy who you know torches houses or like
uh-huh.
like that would be like the you know somebody trying to pull a big job.
Yeah.
But it was still.
Do you know George V. Higgins? He only wrote a few books.
No, I know. Maybe I know the name. I've never read it.
Well, I guess his most popular one was Friends of Eddie Coyle.
Oh, yeah.
And they made that movie.
The movie's
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. But the book is maybe even better because there's like
oh,
a
wow.
little slight twist at the end that wasn't mm-hmm. in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But his books mm-hmm. are almost all dialogue. And, you know, I was talking to somebody who had read some of his books, and it drove him nuts. He didn't like it, you know, but... Basically, it's like these characters have these long conversations, and mm-hmm. it's like almost nothing but dialogue.
Yeah.
But it works. You know, I've read a few of his books. He only wrote a few. He died, mm-hmm. I think, maybe in his 40s. He died rather young.
Friends of Eddie Coyle, such a great movie.
Mm-hmm. The movie's great, yeah.
Robert Mitchum, mm-hmm. kind of on the decline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really taking a kind of a rare... demystifying kind of role
mm-hmm.
where he really stripped his thing down to look weak
mm-hmm.
and like those movie stars did not
yeah
like doing that.
Didn't he even do a Chandler movie too at the end, towards the end? Didn't he do
what am I thinking with, what is that, right?
One of them.
Yeah.
I thought he did one, and yeah, he was
mm-hmm.
older and
yeah.
you know, it was like yeah, he was not such the tough guy anymore, and you
yeah.
know, but it, you know, it fit his age, and
yeah,
but
he was from that previous generation mm-hmm. where you were just a star
uh-huh.
and your roles were almost
oh yeah no
fit your overall oh, yeah. image.
He just had to show up and
mm-hmm.
you know
yeah
it, the character had gravity
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like he had it, you know.
But to be that kind of low level guy in Friends of Eddie Coyle
mm-hmm.
it's just man, that's such a great movie. If you haven't seen that movie, yeah, you should see that movie.
Yeah.
Who directed that again? Was it?
Oh, I can't even remember the director.
Not Peter Yates.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Peter Yates, right?
Who was not American?
I don't think so.
So, and they shot it up in Boston. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, it's getting to be that point.
Sad Mirage.
Say goodbye to the Sad Mirage.
Sad Mirage.
The Sad Mirage.
Sad Mirage.